You are now tuned into Financially Included, where money meets access. Proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia. Okay, we are now joined by Osha Mukoro, a alternative channel product analyst at FNB Namibia. Osha, thank you very much for making time for us this evening. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thanks. I'm doing very well, thanks, Andy.
Yes, and so today we're here to talk about financial inclusion, as we usually do here on Financially Included, brought to you by FNB Namibia. Let's start with an introduction of yourself and your role at FNB Namibia.
Yeah, my name is Osha Muruko, for those that didn't hear it. Born and bred in Windhoek, and I'm part of the FNB commercial team, really responsible for overseeing our CashPass agent network. And our role really just involves in supporting agents, ensuring that they provide quality service and expanding our access to financial services across the country, and especially in underserved communities.
Excellent, excellent. So speaking of financial inclusion, when you hear that phrase, what does it mean to you?
Yeah, so financial inclusion really, in essence, really means ensuring that, and I would like to put it more in the Namibian context.
Yeah.
It's really about, regardless of location, income level, and where you're from, that you have access to essential financial services. So with this said, it's really about empowering people to participate in the broader and the greater economy. So and really improving their livelihoods and building a better future. And really at FNB, this is just not it's not a goal, but it's a guiding principle that we live by.
Yeah. And so let's now get into the CashPlus service itself. Please explain what it is to the listeners and how can they themselves become CashPlus agents.
So yeah, no. CashPlus really is a solution that provides banking services to areas where we have no banking presence. So banking presence such as normal brick and mortar infrastructure such as ATM and branches. So, and it really allows customers to be able to deposit and withdraw cash, but also allowing them to withdraw from their wallet and being able to also buy airtime and electricity, and without needing to visit a branch or an ATM. So, and with this said, to become a CashPlus agent is actually quite simple, and all you need is to have you need to have an existing FNB business account. You need to at least have your business should have at least been operational for a year. So the likes of a sole prop, a CC.
Yeah.
And it has really become easier now to become an agent because you can just apply via our banking app, and then our consultants will engage you so that you can open your CashPlus account.
So essentially, CashPlus is basically bringing financial services to communities where they may not be your traditional banking facility.
Yes.
Okay. And so last week, we spoke to one of the agents. His name was Simpson Philippus. He stated that when he became a CashPlus agent, one of the requirements was owning it had to be a retail store specifically, and it had to be operational for at least 1 year. Is that still the case today?
So essentially, yes. So, but then of course, the nature of that retail store is very different. It doesn't need to be the likes of a ShopRite, a Spar, or a Checkers, but it can be a tuck shop, a mini retail store, a service station. And so it can be that tuck shop or that meme that is sitting at a corner. So it can really be anyone as long as they have an existing FNB account, business account. So that's really, and what's critical here is that as long as an established presence within the community and the infrastructure to support these transactions.
So basically if you're selling something under a legitimate business, you are eligible.
Exactly.
Okay.
And maybe just to add on to that, so we also undergo a really a vetting process. So we just don't really go through before we onboard any agent as well. So,
Do you know about how long that process takes? Like from the moment I register on the app to the moment I'm approved, approximately how long?
It's pretty fast. It can probably take a day or two. It shouldn't take that long. Usually a day or two before you can be onboarded in as an agent.
Excellent. So in your view, how impactful has the CashPlus service been in fostering financial inclusion?
So, and I would really say this solution for FNB has really been, Cash Plus has really been the main driver of financial inclusion.
Yeah.
So it has really been transformative in really changing lives and communities.
Mm-hmm.
And by bringing banking services closer to rural areas and these remote areas where we really don't have presence,
mm-hmm.
and really saving time for customers from traveling long distances and really saving money to really just access simple financial service, being able to withdraw and deposit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it has really greatly contributed to financial inclusion as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've been really seeing is that we've really been seeing great adoption in terms of this channel. And essentially just due to the turnover that we've been seeing, plus 150 million turnover that we've been seeing across the channel.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. And as someone who works closely with the agents, what are some common trends you have noticed from, especially those that have recently become agents? What are some common themes, I guess you could say?
So maybe just to emphasize, it's a partnership. So with mm-hmm. these agents, it's a real partnership. So what we've really seen is that these businesses have grown exponentially, have expanded to more locations, but not only that, these agents have had more increased sales, more traffic coming to their business, but also it has also built trust among the community with financial services.
Yeah.
But not only that, an additional income stream, which is quite an advantage. And I think that's really why we're having a lot of more and more agents coming on board.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a revenue stream in the form of a commission.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been really become trusted financial service providers within their community.
Yeah.
And mainly just based on the brand that the reputable brand that they associated with. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Simpson echoed those exact same sentiments last week, saying that he's, you know, become a very important part in his community in Vanaheda since he's been a Cash Plus agent. So, in your view, why is it important for institutions such as F&B Namibia to provide customers with services that increase that level of financial inclusion, not only in communities, but the country at large?
So it's really essential. And I think F&B has really become a great player in this because
mm-hmm.
Financial inclusion drives economic growth, right? And it reduces poverty and promotes social equity. So really, we're really seeing the inequality gap. The aim is to improve the inequality gap
mm-hmm.
within Namibia. So, and offering these services really just bridges that gap between the formal banking and the underserved communities. So really enabling more people to be part of the financial ecosystem and allowing them to really grow their own businesses, improve their livelihoods. And this not only allows them to maybe just save more, these businesses to save more, invest more, and really just expand their businesses and improve livelihoods right across the country.
100%. And now you mentioned earlier about the 150 million threshold that the Cash Plus has reached. Do you know approximately how many people or businesses are now making use of Cash Plus in Namibia?
So currently now we have over 378 Cash Plus agents
across
the country. So
mm-hmm.
if you really see the reach that it's seeing from a turnover point of view, is that so we're 378 agents serving almost the majority of the market share in Namibia is F&B,
mm-hmm.
but it also serves the non F&B customers. So it's really reached the underserved communities, because as we see now, is non-F&B customers can also withdraw from their wallet
mm-hmm.
or make a deposit. So we're really seeing that through this network of 378 Cash Plus agents, it has really reached majority of the Namibians right across the country.
Yeah, no, and speaking to Simpson, he was explaining to us how, you know, sometimes at his shop, the line is, especially end of the month, the line is nonstop from 8 to 8. So, you know, that's one person probably serving, who knows, probably like 200 people in a day or so. So the listeners can visualize how many people are served by these 378 agents. And also, when you spoke to Simpson, he clarified a misconception about the whole Cash Plus service and being an agent, because many people are under the impression that the bank gives these business holders like a monthly sum of money to disperse to the community, which Simpson explained is not the case. Are there any other misconceptions or things that people might not understand about Cash Plus that you would like to clear up today?
Yeah, and I think maybe another misconception is that only F&B customers can use Cash Plus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really open to the broader communities. We allow non-FNB customers to really withdraw from their wallets and also and come and deposit. And that it's all done via our app. So these Cash Plus agents facilitate all these transactions via the FNB banking app.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a secure platform. So I think those are just the misconceptions that
That the fact that non-FNB customers can make use of it also just emphasizes the point that it's not necessarily about FNB, but really about fostering financial inclusion, which I think is excellent. And for business owners out there who are currently not Cash Plus agents, what would you say are the advantages of becoming a Cash Plus agent?
So I think the major benefit is that you don't only become a community hero, but you end up solving community problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's quite key. But not only that, from a business point of view,
You
are ensured that your business will grow, you'll increase traffic within your stores, and this means increased sales,
mm-hmm.
but also an additional revenue stream from the commission you earn based on the transactions that you do facilitate.
Mm-hmm.
But not only that, from this also we're seeing is that is enhanced community reputation because
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
as a trusted service provider. So you are our presence in areas where there's no ATM or branch. So it's really this trust that you will build within these communities and this ecosystem that you're creating
mm-hmm.
for your communities. So, and then within that, FNB really supports these agents along the way, right? So you are supported in the form of from a branding point of view, you're supported from a training point of view, and really training and where the financial space is really going into, which is quite critical, is that we support them from just normal compliance. So
mm-hmm.
getting to know what is anti-money laundering, how to treat customers mm-hmm. fairly,
mm-hmm.
and really anti-bribery. So those are the key things that we really bring on this service that we provide these agents.
So basically, once you become an agent, not only are you earning revenue, but you're learning other skills that will help you in your overall entrepreneurship journey as well.
Indeed.
And in your time now, since you've been working with the Cash Plus agents, what has been one of your favorite, whether it's a story or a particular journey that you've encountered from an agent?
So I think one of the key ones, and you see it right across, is that, and what usually stands out is how these businesses actually grow. And in rural areas, what you see that from a small shop, they really became the main banking point for the village, mm-hmm. for example. And what we started to see as well here is that some of these customers and these individuals within these villages have not seen the inside of a branch or an ATM
mm-hmm.
because the point of access is these Cash Plus agent.
Yeah.
And from that, what we see is really them reaching in different locations, expanding to more communities. And then through this growth, it's really expanding their livelihoods. And what we really they take children through school.
Yeah.
They have additional, they create employment.
Mm-hmm.
So they have additional cashiers that come on board.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really what we've been seeing with the product and with the solution. Yeah, it's really transformed lives
mm-hmm.
and impacted communities greatly.
100%. That's great to hear. And now my last two questions for you. The first one is about this global policy forum that's coming up in Swakopmund from the 2nd to the 5th of September. What are some, what are you looking forward to? What are some outcomes you're looking forward to from this forum that Namibia is hosting for the first time?
I think it's really just, it's showing the world where we are as Namibia and what are we aiming to do from a financial inclusion point of view. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's the main thing. And we're really seeing ourselves and setting ourselves as a country that we're really here to change livelihoods,
mm-hmm.
to create access to communities and empower communities. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's really the main outcomes. But also to hear from the stories that are out there in terms of what other countries are also part of
mm-hmm.
and what are they involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's really more just to also just create awareness of the solutions that are out there.
100%. Now, speaking of solutions, when we spoke to Nesta De Jong, head of SME banking at FNB, he really emphasized on the importance of digitalization in the whole financial inclusion. I just wanted to get your thoughts on the importance of digitalization in financial inclusion, the relationship between the two.
Yeah, no, so I think, thanks, Annette, for this question. I think Digitalization, I think, has really changed and mm-hmm. it has really transformed. And I think as FNB, we're really championing in this alley. And so what we really see with digitalization is really bridging the gap.
Yeah.
And I think it's really, and what I've emphasized today is really creating that access to communities where there is no reach. And I think mm-hmm. digitalization really bridges that gap
mm-hmm.
and reaching communities where there is no presence, you know. So I really think this is really a key thing. And I see it's a journey that we're all going through. And I think we're all getting used to it with the new technologies that are there. I don't even want to consider it as a new technology anymore. It's actually part of our lives.
Yeah. So
AI.
Exactly.
You know, so I think digitalization has really come and it's going to stay and it's mm-hmm. really going to be transforming. So yeah.
100%. Osha, is there any last words you'd like to leave with the listeners before I let you go this evening?
Yeah, no. So please reach out if you want to become a Cash Plus agent. Please join us at our conference, our financial inclusion conference in Swakopmund. Mm-hmm. It will really be a great experience, great opportunities. Yeah.
Thank you. Is there a number, anything they can, people can call to become Cash Plus agents, or is it online somewhere they can find it?
So yeah, so to become a Cash Plus agent, you can find it on our app. You can apply to become a Cash Plus agent via our app.
Mm-hmm.
It's all accessible via the app.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for your time this evening.
Thanks, Hendy. Thanks for the opportunity.
You are now tuned into Financially Included, where money needs access. Proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia. Welcome back to Financially Included, where money meets access. That was our conversation with none other than Mr. Osha from FNB Namibia, giving us some further insight into the FNB Cash Plus service. Gentlemen, what do you think about what Osha had to tell us today?
Well, it sounds to the question that you asked at the start in terms of what is the idea that we have of financial inclusion.
Yeah.
It literally tries to achieve that particular mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Like I also explained, it's a mechanism. It's the way of trying to make the money spread as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bank of Namibia themselves highlighted in that small graphic I had just a few minutes up now here in front of me, that if you had to go look at rural urban spread in terms of who has got access to money, meaning availability components,
mm-hmm.
is usually the rural area guys struggle the most to gain access to it. Mm-hmm. Urban guys have greatest access to it. This is obviously based upon the comment that I also made a little bit earlier in the home run session, where if you had to look at Namibia's particularly unique development issues, these are things that are, you know, unique to Namibia, like people would be living too far off
yeah.
from where you would have electricity or where you would have ATMs and certain particular things. Or even the malnutrition example I gave a little bit earlier
mm-hmm.
about accessibility to food means you can see the food in the shop. It's just, do you have the money to buy that?
Of getting it.
Yeah. Did you guys know about this Cash Plus service before this conversation today?
Not me.
I'm not sure if you guys were tuned in last week for this one.
Not me either.
Yeah, doing the show is my first time learning about this service as well, and I'm quite,
You're an F&B user as well, right?
Yeah, I am.
You also as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
not.
Usually just log in the app and out.
Yeah, that's what they've been saying, that, you know, the app it's so normal to us.
Yeah.
But it's actually gives you a lot of financial services at the tips of your fingers. And I mean, the fact that, to me, the most remarkable part is the fact that you don't even need data really to use the app.
Yeah.
And before I knew that, I used the app before without data, and I thought I just got lucky, you know, that the stuff went through. But it's actually a service that they've done intentionally, that you don't need data to access all these financial services.
Don't get cut off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to send an e-wallet, you want to make a payment or whatever, you don't need to be connected to Wi-Fi, you don't need to have data bundles on your phone, you still access the services. As long as your phone is on, obviously.
Yeah. Talk about convenience.
Exactly.
No, it is. No, it really is, Ahmed, because here's the thing. obviously, a commercial bank identifies that they are there to help move the money through their ATMs, through their services, and so forth. The second scenario would obviously just be for you, that you, the user.
Yeah.
How are you going to utilize what they're putting closer to you?
Exactly.
Now, obviously, the downside now becomes in if you're almost now someone that is not close to money. I mean, we can all do a basic example. Here, like here in studio, when was the first time you were told by your parents, HD, that you can go and withdraw money? They gave you the bank card and said, go and withdraw money.
Sure, I can't remember the exact date, but I know I was very young. Like
how young? I also don't remember it, but I was like just between 12 and 13.
What grade is that? Like six?
Six, six seven? And seven.
Grade 12. I might have been even younger, honestly speaking.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah. My mom literally said, go and I will show you now how to withdraw money.
No, I don't have to remember because it never happened.
So you were taught the moment you got your first bank account, you were taught there by the ATM. Well, no, by the clerks, the bank clerks.
I had to, Google the heck out of everything. When it comes to, the very simple way that I look at it is that the reason why, one thing I like about human beings is that we are lazy.
Yeah.
And that laziness is the, it's one thing that that makes us seek convenience. Mm-hmm. And with that then comes not just the curiosity, but also a very easy way of doing things.
Yeah.
And that's where I think, it's safe to say that now why we have all these digital payment systems, and that's where we have achieved the level of take for example security. Like one convenience of of electronic banking that that I like to look at is that I don't have to walk around with a stack of cash in my pocket.
Yeah.
So that way, then if I get jumped by a bunch of by a bunch of homies from some locations I won't mention, the only thing they will find in my in my wallet is maybe just a few notes, but the rest of what my life depends on isn't is secure behind some code.
Yeah. We have a caller on the line.
Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, sorry. Good evening or afternoon, please.
Yes, what would you like to contribute to the program today?
Yes, thank you very much for our sport member. For coming and bringing the inclusion. I think you brought some kind of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
I even discovered that the two young gentlemen there, they just from the first in their preamble, they just got us. They opened the line while they were waiting for you.
Yeah.
So long time you were also talking about financial inclusion, and they have been speaking about financial inclusion so many times.
Yeah.
Those two young men there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good that the FNB, Mr. Muloko, is it Muloko? Mukolo.
Muroko.
So I wrote this is Muroko. Muroko. Must be K-O. So for coming and giving us those kind of information.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the linkage between what we are hearing on this national youth funding scheme of 240 million, that funding, is it also somehow linked to this financial inclusion that you're talking about? And I think both Helmut and Dwight, they actually gave a good definition and explanation there.
Yeah.
Which have got similar elements.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to, you are saying the cash app agent.
Cash plus.
I mean cash plus. Cash plus agent.
Mm-hmm.
So meaning that these are agents that will be representing FNB in terms of service provision in the community.
In a way, So in a way, yes, but it's you are working on your own.
Yes. I'm working on my own. I should have established a company like this requirement that you have just mentioned.
Yeah.
I seem to have an account of how many rice or whatever, but I heard that it depends. There we were told that also, when it comes now to operation, because you might not have a tech shop there, which is obviously saving the community. Because in the community, in the, most of the community, the rural area, even in Katutura, the informal settlement, those people are depending on tax shop.
Yeah.
The only problem I have is because most of them, they sell only alcohol, no bread, elmut.
Yeah.
Is that not so?
You are 100% right, Uncle Bona. You are right on the head. You are making the point. Yeah, but regardless of what they sell, they can still become cash plus agents.
Wait, we want to discourage people so that they can go to something. Because they cannot sponsor you much when you are just getting investing in alcohol.
That is true. No, you are right.
So because most of the suicide and the violence, or gender-based violence, and all this confusion that we are seeing, it's because of this alcohol. So now you now get people to get this, what is this cash plus, what facilities and all these other things. And these are the agents, I understand. We at least want people who can say, yes, this particular person, he or she wants to have a dwelling in the community. And because of the collateral security, even this loan that I'm hearing, I heard there's no collateral security as a requirement. So this cash agent that are there, cash plus agent, they should be to solve this problem, I mean, this service that Elmut was talking about. This could just be maybe an enabler, like I was talking about technological, what, financial accession, technologically finance or whatever, inclusion.
Digitalization.
So all those things, we don't want people to be trapped in debt that they cannot even service.
Yeah, but
so, as an agent, I believe this is the agent that we also represent the vulnerable community members down there. Who may even have access, even this funding that they are talking about, because of your help there. Oh, for you, you are Eagle FM anyway. So the man has gone for NBC. So, I mean, from FNB, Mr. Muroko is gone. But what I thought is that if I have to become an agent and somebody has to become an agent, it's because that person is basically squarely representing himself and FNB. The management style, the accounting, whatever, all those financial, what, literacy. Is it financial literacy that you people always talk about? So they should provide.
And they do that.
And we now see that the cost of running to the town and things like that. So even those Rwakanas, the Okongo, when you go there, FNB is not there.
You are right, Uncle Bernard.
That's the purpose of the Cash Plus, is to provide financial services.
I saw it last week, Uncle. You are right, Uncle Bernard.
These people are not serious. So now you go there, there used to be a mobile kind of, at least, honestly speaking, these people are not serious. They say cash plus what agent. You go to the Congo now there. Do you all maybe Gurenguru, the Kavango West? I know, I understand. They are just coming up. Are they there?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to explain to you.
Okay, no problem. I'm not judging you. I'm not what. I'm just saying that and congratulate you for disseminating this kind of information.
Thank you once again, Uncle Bona. Thanks for coming through. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Yes, if you'd like to chime in, the number in the studio is 083-288-401, 083-288-401. And as the caller was alluding to, or perhaps had some misconception about the Cash Plus service, that's the problem he identified. That's exactly why the service exists, is to bring financial services to those areas, to the communities where your traditional bank facility might not exist. Gentlemen, your thoughts?
Well, I thought I had high hopes of myself becoming an agent, until I went and looked at who are the agents so far. They are all established business entities.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was covered in your first episode of when the Cash Plus engagement began. So I agree partially with Ankapwana, and I also agree with, you know, what the initiative Cash Plus tries to do, mm-hmm. you know, the inclusivity aspect. Get the money to as many people as possible. Obviously, this is based upon how are you interacting?
Yeah.
In what role are you interacting? If it's now like what Ankapwana cited in terms of the youth grant, I keep forgetting that scenario because I was no longer youth. Helmut, you're still, Hende, you are still youth. I was no longer youth. So I can't think of or pay attention to something mm-hmm. if I'm no longer in that age demographic.
Yeah.
So the scenario from there would be one about applying to the financing.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the agents on even the FNB app itself or that FNB website, which I just Google searched, it's all established businesses. So this means if you're now saying, listen, I can't walk into the interview with is Mukoro, the gentleman's
mm-hmm.
name.
Mm-hmm.
The interview with Mukoro that you had.
Muroko, sorry.
The interview with Muroko. You cited one particular question. Long queues at specific times of the month.
Yeah.
Which we've all been trying to avoid in Namibia.
Yeah.
But imagine that queue gets broken up into multiple dimensions. You had the FNB ATM here
mm-hmm.
with its long line. Now imagine the two businesses next to the ATM can now assist you.
Yeah.
Now, instead of you waiting here in this long queue, you can just say, ah, you know what? Let me quickly walk into the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask them, are you an agent? They say, yes. Here we go. Please, I'd like this cash. So far, there you go.
Finishing klaar.
You go, get back on your way. Because the one thing I realized, guys, is that people really want to spend their time useful somewhere else. They don't have time to stand in a queue.
Exactly.
Look, they have time paying for something in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
And we might get to the scenario which will be scary because the cashier, that would mean that the role of the cashier would probably become threatened in some way. But people.
The cashier in a bank?
No, cashier in a shop.
Cashier
in a retailer.
Yeah.
Because the cashier in the retailer is sort of like that human element that we have to interact with the shop. You know, it's what they call, keeping it still human. And I kid you not, guys. Like this week, where
we
people
don't look at it as from a psychological point of view, like the interaction, do we?
No, we don't. In Africa, we don't. However, in the context of the future of jobs that you and I did at the start of the year,
yeah,
the cashier is one of the jobs that'll be under threat by AI or automation in some format. You know, you preload on a card, like a gift card or a shopping card, and you go, you've got that balance, and you just swipe the balance off.
Mm.
Which also negates the aspect in terms of why you have a debit card. Because many people will say, but then I'd like to control my finances with my debit card. Because then the retailer then goes like, okay, I still need to pay then for cashiers. So it'll be one of those scenarios. Many people just want to get through how quickly a cashier can finish up with one client. Obviously, it's based upon if the client knows that they've got the right amount of money on them sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Or not. You know, things happen. But yeah, it's literally about the accessibility of the service. And Namibians don't want to spend time in a queue at an ATM.
Yeah, for example, I mean, last week when we had Simpson on, he owns a retail shop in the heart of Vanaheda.
Yeah.
So now imagine you're a resident in that community. You have to take the time to, whether it's drive or take a cab to your nearest F&B branch, which is, I don't know, maybe in town from Vanaheda.
No, I think there's one from Vanaheda. Vanaheda, you would find it at Black Chain, an F&B there. I saw that F&B. It's a nightmare.
Okay, regardless, even if that.
No, you have one the side of, you have one the, is it, yeah, you have one at Vurman, by the side.
So the Vurman is closer?
The side of.
Yeah, you're right.
The side of Vanaheda police station.
Yeah.
Okay, but still, you have to travel to the branch.
Once you get to that branch,
you're still standing.
People may take your money.
You're still standing in line for who knows how long.
Yeah.
Whereas, instead of doing all that, just visit your nearest Cash Plus agent, in this case, Simpson, who will maybe, you know, save you an hour or two, maybe even 3 hours
and
of time.
And probably safety.
Maybe that as well.
It would also help you with safety.
Yeah.
Simple. So,
and I mean, in Vincent's scenario, there probably would also be like
Simpson, sorry.
sorry, guys. There would probably also be like three other agents in close proximity.
Yeah.
Which, because that drop down list was a long list. Obviously where we are, Windhoek East-ish. Windhoek East, the Windhoek East constituency. I recognize like 3-4 businesses here close to our studio.
Yeah.
That are Cash Plus agents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a butchery here. I think this checker's close to us. I think one of the service stations as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was pretty easy. It was pretty quick to say, oh wow. And like I told you guys, I thought I could like sign up, you know, as a just me person being financially included in this scenario, try to test out the application or the function. And it literally says you must be a retailer.
The beautiful part of it is you get to roll shopping and withdrawing into one. I think this brings me back to the convenience part, because for one, you can, especially when you are working under time constraints, because now you have to stand in the queue to go and withdraw or deposit whatever you want to do at the ATM, and then go and stand in another queue. Exactly. To buy whatever it is that you want to buy in a grocery store or a clothing store, for example.
Exactly.
Making it more, this is one of those services that makes it more convenient for you to just, get one out of the way so that you don't have to tell your boss that you were sick the previous day. Right? The whole day you were stuck with, you're stuck.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, Dwight just highlighted the agents that are around us here in our Climb Into Studio. You guys see the line at the ATMs here. At certain times of the day.
H, that line there.
It's also the line you stand in the mood.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. So now, with this service, you get to skip that whole line.
Honestly, that's why I don't like ATMs in the beginning. at the beginning of the month. What I do is a few days, 2 or 3 days before month end. I withdraw enough money, transport money, for to and from work for all the necessities.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I can spend the whole first week avoiding ATMs.
Exactly.
Because the queues, holy cow.
Yeah, sometimes it's like, you really have to think, do I really need this money to stand in this long line for this 200 or whatever it is I'm going to withdraw?
Well, it's also a scenario, guys, in terms of the role that the ATM played. Did you guys know that the ATMs are actually rented infrastructure?
Huh.
The banks pay for that infrastructure that is theirs, that has
the physical device. Thing.
Yeah. It's rented infrastructure. I never knew it. But
until
it probably might have changed in between.
Or also maybe it could be different from institution to institution.
Yeah. So, obviously, if you've got to look at how to get the money circulating as quickly as possible or moving as quickly as possible or as far as possible, I think Namibia still has a big issue in terms of, even though you just mentioned HD, mm-hmm. about the ability for your application to function still.
Yeah.
You know, where you thought that you didn't have airtime, you didn't have data packets still,
mm-hmm.
but that burden then falls on the service provider, which is your bank,
mm-hmm.
to ensure that you still have access to your money,
mm-hmm.
because they still want to see you make transactions.
Yeah.
The downside is, where I was last week, guys, there were dead spots. I won't mention the region because, people might call me up.
That's where you went and I didn't.
It's your favorite region.
Yeah, so
even?
I don't know now if it works.
No.
If you need reception.
Yeah.
Does it work without reception?
That's the thing. Or.
Or did you try using it with no reception?
It's most likely going to need reception.
Guys, I told you, I'm not an FMB client.
The two
of you are. But if you look at the technology component of things, I did bump into some dead spots, meaning there was no signal.
Yeah.
In certain spots.
Yeah.
And I know, Helmut, you and I communicating last week last week, the communication gaps in terms of when I would respond.
Yeah.
I know that you guys were probably thinking, where is this guy again? people here in Windhoek, Wi-Fi is a luxury. Out in the, I won't even call it the rural areas, but let's just say the other parts of Namibia that is not, the Windhoek, you really, really rely on your own data packets.
Yeah.
So the concern would obviously happen in terms of the kind of infrastructure the client has, meaning the consumer. Do they have a smartphone to access things? And is the vendor enabled in that scenario? If there is no vendor, then I wholly agree with what Uncle Bona left us with, his particular, you know, wise words in terms of going to certain areas of rural areas of the country. It'll be a challenge to get the financial inclusion component running. Many cases, I could see people would just say, you know, I grow my own food. I've got my own livestock. Why do I need money? I just need to dig a couple of meters for my own borehole. Why do I need my own money?
Yeah, but that's like a, that's a sign of, there's other problems to address before we talk about the access to finances in those areas. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
I don't think it's fair to say that, because there's no reception, because there's missing infrastructure in this area, that we're now gonna discard or look down on the, on the service. It's not the service's fault that there's no reception in that area, for example. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. And, I know the technology component of things can, they will obviously still move forward, but yeah, I mean, it's still early stuff in certain cases. It's obviously up to each person. I know just which one part of Windhoek I don't want to be in, and it's specifically that area of Independence Avenue. It's a nightmare, guys. It's a nightmare, guys. You know, I had to go and NAM switch. You know what NAM switch is?
I have no idea.
When you are from a different bank, and you take your, you, because you either, either your own bank's ATM is out of order, then you go to another bank's ATM. It's just you face a higher,
charge
for that one transaction. My bank decided to do the most unthinkable thing on the day that I needed money to get out of a parking lot, and I had to spend 2 hours. Yeah, you remember?
Yeah, I remember.
How annoyed I was when I came back to the office?
Yeah.
2 hours, bruh. Queuing. And do you know what it was? It's those guys that show up at the ATM who decided to send the e-wallet PIN only then at the ATM. Or you have those three guys that show up, and then they're both getting the same banknote, you know, the same money note, to put it now, to deposit it now into the ATM.
To deposit in the ATM.
The, you know, the $200 is so heavy, they both need to carry it at the same time. So, that's all. So the technology itself, now, would get the money rolling.
Yeah.
I just have a concern with fellow Namibians that don't understand time.
No, I think that's where, you know, that takes us back to where we started with the definition of financial inclusion, because the goal is to, you know, is to assist or to spread the service to as much people or as many people as possible. And, now, that's where I think, the, you know, the education of whatever, you know, financial, you know, inclusion package that's being rolled out, now starts with, you know, starts with, educating, like, more like sharing information, basically, about that, you know, that particular package. This is what's being shared from this institution, like financial inclusion from FNB, what we, the one that we're talking about, you know, Cash Plus from FNB that we're talking about now, that, these are the people that qualify. These are the people that do not qualify. These are the people that, you know, for you to have access to this type of, you know, of service, this and this and these requirements are the ones that you have to meet. And now, I think, and now, my village, for example, is at least,
your village has been classified as a town. What? Is it a town?
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, a different type of village, okay. Different type. I'm African, extended family, long story. Now, give or take 5 or 10 kilometers. It's about 120 kilometers west, west of Divundu. So now here's the thing: the nearest ATM, at least one that works, guarantee. is in Bivundu.
And it's from one bank.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, but there's one shop that, there's one shop within the very same village that has, I think that's the other service that they also offer, I think. It was just implemented, I think, about, you know, there's a one, because, I remember sending money, I think that was, that was last month.
Mm.
So usually what I do is, I would send plus the transport money.
Mm-hmm.
And when they told me that there was, we're not going to Divunda anymore. There's a shop there. There's a Chinese shop there where they actually like have it easy access now.
Yeah.
Like, okay, thank you very much. So I was like, so okay, now I will just redirect my transport money to Peterman.
So. Yeah. See, that's what the service is for, making things easier. Now you've cut expenses of having to travel all the way to Divundu, all that time it takes to go to Divundu. Who knows the line that's there in Divundu? Now instead of
month end, oh boy.
Yeah. Now instead of doing all
it's
that,
a nightmare.
You just go to your nearest cash plus agent. Now we have about 2-3 minutes before we have to hand over to Ondama. There's one question I want to ask you guys about. Last week I spoke to the head of SME banking at FNB, like I alluded to in the interview with Oja. He and Nesta. Mm-hmm. I asked him a question about digitalization and financial inclusion. And if I remember correctly, Nesta's take on this was that, I think I'm remembering correctly, that digitalization leads to financial inclusion. Right? Yeah. Saying that the more digital tools and whatnot we have, the more financially included we have. But then I had David on, who was of the opinion that it should be the other way around.
Yeah.
That, I need access to the money first in order to acquire said digital tools so that I can acquire the digital tools to become more financially included. And, you know, I've been kind of on both sides of the fence. I think the answer is somewhere in the middle, but.
No, the answer is both. They are actually ready.
I'd like to hear from you guys. What do you think is this relationship? Does one lead to the other, or are they like a symbiotic relationship?
Yeah.
Like, do you need one before you get the other, or can they coexist?
Who goes first, me or you?
No, I'm still confused. You go first.
Okay, so I agree with both takes.
Yeah.
But I will leverage Kenya's M-Pesa,
mm-hmm.
which has been such a scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Because last year when, what's their name? The SOE that works with Namfisa. When Namfisa had they also had that same particular event again this year.
Mm-hmm.
David went to it, remember?
Mm-hmm,
the FinTech engagement.
Yeah.
So last year they invited the you remember you and I spoke about the Kenyans that were here at the Namfisa FinTech scenario last year,
yeah.
and they spoke about sandboxing.
Yeah.
So what the Kenyans asked the M-Pesa guys was, the service provider then,
mm.
what do you want to do? Do you want to be a bank or not? And then those guys told the Kenyan Central Bank, we don't want to be a bank. We're not there to bank. We're not banking.
Mm-hmm.
We're helping the money
facilitating the movement.
Mm-hmm.
Because they outlined in the explainer, because I'm just summarizing, that it was unsafe for Kenyans to go to the ATM. They were always, they don't have the luxury like us Namibians, the security, you know, guarding the ATM.
Yeah.
People were literally jumped at the ATM for their money.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also limited ATMs available. So they had long queues. So imagine Kenya has what, almost 40 million people. I think I'm just spitballing there or thumb sucking that number.
Yeah.
But it's more than 10 million.
Yeah.
Now you look at Namibia. Namibia needs a whole host of things present. For that argument, the both points to work, the
mm-hmm.
digitalization to enable inclusion
mm-hmm.
and in financial inclusion or access to the money to allow the digitalization. So what, so what do I mean? Firstly, the idea that you and I have been hammering on about transport.
Yeah.
If you have something like trains or commuter trains running between towns,
mm-hmm.
it allows people to have more money for other things.
Mm-hmm.
So then they would just buy their ticket. Or if you had something like that bus service that Helmut and I have been hammering on, or I would have been hammering on here in Windhoek,
mm-hmm.
running circular in Windhoek, I would not need to buy a car
mm-hmm.
or pay petrol. I just buy my ticket at every bus stop. I buy my ticket. I'm there. The ticket gets stamped because the bus driver has a machine here that stamps the ticket.
Yeah.
In the functioning economies that have that thing.
Yeah.
Stamps the packet, the ticket, and then you go on your bus ride to your closest. Then you've got more money on you.
Disposable income.
Yeah. And in the financial inclusion scenario that the Bank of Namibia have on their website, they literally allude from financial inclusion to disposable income to make the economy work.
Mm-hmm.
So the aspect is, David is more right-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Having more access to more money, disposable income, allows you to be more financially included and then leads to your digitalization. Because you will start seeing, you know, technologies that you can leverage.
Yeah.
And now you, Helmut?
Helmut, what do you think?
I have no idea. No, look, when you... Dwight is right. Both answers are basically correct. Sort of like they have a gray area where they meet.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it, especially if you look at it from the... Now, this is a service that's being offered. Now, that service needs people using it for it to be sustainable.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, for people to use it, they need access, you know, they need, use it more like, regularly. Yeah. They need, disposable income is needed. So that makes, access to money very true. Mm. Because, it's a financial service. If you don't have the finance, it would be impossible for you to use the service. Mm. That makes it even if you want to participate, mm-hmm. it'd be very difficult for you to participate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's where they meet now. The service is there to make the convenience of the movement of money possible. Make it much easier and much safer because everything is is being run through a service. So you are not walking around with a stack of money putting your security at risk.
Mm-hmm.
For them to give them that money to move, you first have to make the money. So I think, they're both right here.
It's an interesting conversation that just spontaneously came up that I consistently think about when we have these talks. But before Team Ondangwa gets upset at us, that is the time we have for this evening. This has been another edition of Financially Included, where money meets access, brought to you by FNB Namibia. We will be back on, today's Monday?
Yeah.
We'll be back on Wednesday and Friday at 6 p.m. live on Eagle FM. See you next time.
And stay tuned, guys, for the next program after the break.
Yep.
This has been another edition of Financially Included, where money meets access. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. live on Eagle FM. Financially Included is brought to you by FNB Namibia.